Let's go to Scotland now, where opinion polls suggest Thursday's referendum on Scottish independence is on a knife edge. Over the weekend, thousands of activists across Scotland took to the streets to try and persuade voters to vote either yes or no. Peter Gagan went out onto the streets of Glasgow with campaigners from both sides to get an up-close glimpse of the battle for Scotland.
On a Saturday, Glasgow's Buchanan Street is normally thronged with shoppers, but this Saturday was packed with tens of thousands of independent supporters singing and waving banners. 50 miles across central Scotland, Edinburgh was a cacophony of flutes and drums as more than 10,000 orange men and women marched for a no vote in Thursday's referendum. Right across Scotland, campaigners on both sides have been working overtime to try and win support, and just as importantly, to get their vote out. In Glasgow's leafy West End, independent supporters blow up balloons at their makeshift stall by the side of a busy road. The table is crammed with posters, badges and stickers, all bear the same word, yes.
Independence is about social justice, and it's about putting the community of Scotland back into the heart of our political system.
This is Marcin Doherty, a local Scottish National Party councillor.
We don't have full leverage of the economic control of our country and the assets of this country, and I think we'll be far better off out of the union than we are in it, and we've never been. The levels of poverty in Scotland in the union are a testimony to its failure.
If the Yes campaign does win, it'll be largely because it has won over those frustrated by party politics. Glaswegian Linda Brooks is one of thousands who has spent countless hours knocking on doors, delivering leaflets and manning stalls like this one.
I've never campaigned on behalf of a political party, but I just felt this is a really important question for Scotland, and so it was worth actually participating. And if I can convince one person, then, you know, that was energy well spent.
The stall is popular. Some passing cars beep their horns. Pedestrians stop to chat. Among them is Akif Eshan.
I'd rather take the chance and see what happens. I think in the long run we'll prosper on our own.
Of course, there are many in Scotland who do not want the three-century-old union with England to end. In Glasgow, the Labour Party has been the loudest voice calling for a no. In a recently renovated 1950s-era council housing development near the city centre, I joined up with Labour activists campaigning against independence.
I think there's a lot of quiet no's because people are very resolute and have made up their minds, and they feel that they don't need to be overly expressive. On the campaigning we've done, lots and lots of people have just said, oh, we've made up our minds. There's no need to do any more than we're doing.
And also speaking to the remaining undecided voters that we know about, so that's our priority for the next few days. So some of us are going to head over to Town Head and another team's
going to... Clipboard and pen in hand, the group leader outlines the afternoon's plan of action to around 20 activists. Among those knocking doors is Glasgow City Council leader Gordon Matteson.
It's best for the economy of Glasgow and for Scotland that we stay as part of the union, and frankly we're sending out a crazy message to this world. If a peaceful, redistributive 300-year-old union is being potentially broken up.
Peter Gagan reporting there from Glasgow. It's 8:26.
Queen Elizabeth joined in the campaign, though maybe that's not the right way of putting it. She certainly had things to say about the decision the Scots are going to make this week when she said during a visit to Balmoral yesterday that she hopes voters in Scotland will think very carefully about the future. We're joined now by Muir Dickey, Financial Times Scotland correspondent. Good morning and thanks for taking the call.
Good morning.
I just wonder, let's talk about the Queen first of all. Very, very careful language. Is that going to weigh, the fact that she had some words to say, is that going to have any impact?
Well, the people on the no side of the debate were certainly welcoming it. I guess the cautious tone that they read into her remarks, they feel helping their case that this is a kind of a dangerous and difficult decision that people are making. But she certainly didn't come very clearly off the fence.
Now, people here have been impressed from everything we read and see with what sounds like a very lively, very passionate, but also, on the whole, very polite and reasoned discussion of a major question facing the Scots. Is that how you see it?
Yes, I mean, I think one wouldn't want to be, too naive about it. There has been a nasty fringe to the debate from the start online. We've had lots of very insulting and unpleasant things said on Twitter. There have been some pretty fierce arguments in bars and on the streets. But in the main, yes, this has been a very positive debate, I think. I saw yesterday in Edinburgh Park two people discussing extremely vigorously the intricacies of currency policy after independence, but they managed to leave civilly at each other. And all across Scotland, there is that kind of very, very vigorous, but in the main, still relatively friendly debate.
David Cameron is crossing the border again today, his second trip since the start of the campaign. Do you think he cuts much ice? I mean, the fact that he comes, obviously, is going to be impress some people. But other than that, can anything he say make any difference?
It's a real dilemma for the Prime Minister. I mean, he is personally not popular in Scotland. The Conservative Party is also widely unpopular, and yet he can't not come because he's the Prime Minister of the United Kingdom. And a large part of the argument for people to stay at the moment is to say that things will change and Scotland will get new powers, even if it votes no. So he has to be making that case, and he has to be reaching out to people and showing there's a future in the United Kingdom. But there's no question that his presence will help the nationalist side to say that, well, if Scotland stays in the UK, all it gets is more Conservative government.
The BBC's poll of polls, the latest reckoning, according to them, puts the no on 51%, yes on 49%. How do you read it?
The thing is, we just don't know. There's no precedent for this kind of referendum. The polls have been telling very different stories throughout the campaign, and still differ on how many people are undecided. But they all agree now that it's very close. It's possible that they might be missing segments of the population that will vote, as you heard, perhaps for the first time. And it's also possible that people who are intending to vote no, or who will end up voting no, are reluctant to say that because of this more general mood of nationalist passion. We don't know, but it looks very close.
Well, we're all fascinated over here for obvious reasons. It's good to talk to you, Muir Dickey of the Financial Times in Scotland. It's 8:30. You're